Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning in the house of the Lord. I want to again focus on verse 3. And I want to give you a title this morning that is a different title, and I know. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and the good. You know, there were times growing up, and I know many of you are the same way, because some of you were a lot more troublemakers than I was. I know that. Bunch of rebels. But how many of you can relay and say that there were times that as I came home, and it happened for me that my mama would ask, "Where you been?" And before I could even give the answer, before I can answer the question, she gives the answer. "I'll tell you where you've been. I know where you've been. I know what you've done." And I'm like, you know, is there cameras following me or what? And now as a parent myself, I can see it all over my kid's face, man. I already know. You know, what are you doing? Nothing. You lying dog, you. You're into something. You're doing something. Well, how do you know? Because I can see. I can see everything. One of them, he even made the statement the other day. "What, you got x-ray vision?" I said, "I sure do. I know what you're doing when you're at school. I know what you're doing when you are not at school. I know what you do in everything you do. I know. I know." "Yeah, right." I said, "I know what your mind is thinking right now." "What?" I said, "Your mind is thinking right now, can Daddy really know what I'm thinking?" And he went, It's amazing. As parents this morning, that it's just it's something that we know. Even growing up, we all had parents probably or a guardian that was over us. They just knew what was going on. They knew where we'd been. It's just like, you know, are you following me somewhere? What's going on? You know, here's the thing I want you to understand that concerning x-ray vision. That the truth is that parents really don't have x-ray vision. I mean, it's just true. But I begin to think about an individual that many of us know, that on this planet, on his own planet, he was just that on his planet, he was just an ordinary, normal, ordinary child. But when he was sent to Earth on a rocket ship, he soon discovered that his ordinary abilities, while in the inferior environment of planet Earth, was superhuman. More than a powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap tall buildings in one single bounce. It's a bird, it's a plane. No, help me out, church. It's Superman. All I need right now is a fan just to kind of blow my cape. Superhero. He was the defender of the weak. X-ray vision. To see past the walls and into secret places. Nothing was hidden from his eyes. Well, the truth is, that makes for good comic book. The truth is, that makes a good cartoon. The truth is that makes a good comic books and good for storytelling and good for costume wearing. But the truth is, no one has x-ray vision, right? No one's got x-ray vision. No one is able to see what's really going on into walls and into the mind and into the heart. Well, I want to stop there because according to Solomon, someone does. Again, the verse 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Oh, that's a good scripture there. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I want to tell you this morning, saints of God, that nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. Come on, you can help me preach right now. That nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. His eyes are in every place. Nothing was hidden from him that was preceding the flood in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man and was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So in other words, God knew the thoughts of everybody before the flood, before they even knew them. That God knew that their heart was so far away from God. God knew that they were, that maybe not with their mouth, but their heart and their actions were saying that that man that's building a boat, he is a crazy nut. It's never going to flood. It's never going to rain. That nothing's going to ever happen. And they went about their own sinful lifestyle. And the Bible says, is that God saw it. God saw exactly what they were doing. God saw that only evil continually. The Bible tells us that when Israel was in bondage, that God said this, I see their oppression. I see their oppression. That what Egypt is doing to the children of promise does not escape mine eyes. And he made that promise. He said, I see the bondage. I see what you're facing. I see what you're going through. And nothing that you're doing escapes my eyes. David declared this in 2 Samuel 22, that if you've got a haughty spirit, God sees it and will bring you down. Look at your neighbor and tell him he'll bring you down. He'll bring you down. Hananiah the prophet warned the unrighteous king of these words here. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. And she and what says this, that he sees everything. He sees everything. So where I want to go with this morning, I want to share with you this thought. The only thing that his eyes cannot see. The only thing that his eyes cannot see. Well, preacher, that doesn't make much sense because you're already telling me that he can see everything. Solomon's already saying that he's got an X-ray vision. So how is there things that he cannot see? David said in Psalms 139, he said, I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. He says, thine eyes did see my substance. Thine eyes did see my substance. Everything about me, from my outward countenance to my inner organs to the conditions of my soul. He says, you see everything. Jeremiah said that God's eyes were open upon all the ways of the Son of Man. So may I say it one more time to you this morning. Nothing you do, nothing you say, nowhere that you go, nothing that you think, and nothing that you are is hid from the eyes of God. Somebody say nothing. Even the things that you do and you're thinking, nobody's looking. The problem is this. You're looking left, right, frontward, forward, but you're forgetting to look up because he sees. He sees. In the same token, that things that I think, things that I do, and I feel like nobody knows, nobody sees what I'm doing. Nobody sees the things that I'm sneaking around. Nobody sees what's in my closet, because I can come to church and I can put the prettiest smile on and I can put the prettiest mask on and nobody will ever know. I've got news for you, sir or ma'am. He sees. He sees. Well, nobody's ever going to find out. You can be sure your sins will find you out sooner or later. It may take a little bit of time, but I can promise you this. He sees everything. He's making note. He's watching. He does see. But on the opposite spectrum, he also sees that person that says, nobody sees what I'm going through. That person that says, nobody knows what I'm facing. Nobody understands what I'm dealing with. Nobody understands the sickness, the pain, the depression. Nobody understands it, how I feel from day to day. Nobody understands and knows anything. I want to tell you, he sees. He sees. Nothing you think, nothing that you are is hid from the eyes of God. Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote a song years ago, a song that is entitled His Eyes. And it says that His eyes are always open. His eyes never close in sleep. And no matter where you go, you will always be in His eyes. Another song that we sing around here is this, that His eyes are on the sparrow, and I know that He watches over me. Listen, His eyes sees your hurt. His eyes see your hurt. Sarah's handmaid, Hagar, was cast out. Sarah's handmaid by the name of Hagar, she was thrown out to the wolves. The story is a heartbreaking story. She was rejected. She was hurt deeply. She was left to die. And it appeared that no one knew her sorrow, but God saw it. God saw it and brought a well of water in the middle of the desert. She named that place, that well, Beer Laharahai. That's right, I studied it, I figured out how to say it. Which in the Hebrew means this, that He has sent, or He has seen me. So I would love for you to know that in your wilderness of hurt, saints of God, God sees you. In your wilderness of hurt that nobody understands, that I'm a cast out, I'm rejected, it didn't work out the way that I wanted it to or I thought it should have worked out, and you're just kind of walking around aimlessly now, what is God going to do? He will provide a well for you. He sees you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide the right thing because He knows where you're at. He sees you. He sees you. He sees your hurt. He sees your sorrows. His eyes, hear me, see your pain. So often people walk around and they think this, nobody knows. Nobody knows the struggles. Nobody knows the pain. Nobody knows the heartache. Nobody knows the sorrow that I'm in. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And His ears, they're open unto His cry. There is nothing that you do, nothing that you sneak around, nothing that you hide, and nothing that you go through that He does not see. But there's one thing His eyes cannot see. There is one thing that His eyes cannot see. See, it was not compassion for the deceased that Jesus stopped the funeral possession of Nain. The Bible says in Luke chapter 7, verse 12, now when He came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. In verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, when the Lord saw her, He saw her pain. He saw her weep. He saw her distraught. He saw what she was going through. The Bible says He had compassion on her and said unto her, woman, weep no more. Saints of God, hear me today. He sees our issues. He sees what we go through He sees our pain. His eyes are always open. Now, for some of you, that might freak you out a little bit because you're thinking that I thought nobody could see. Oh, he could see. Some of you thought, well, nobody's looking. Oh, but he's been looking the whole time. Well, I thought that I was alone in this. I thought that, you know, that's why I did what I did. I was by myself and I was away from everybody. And I didn't think, he saw it the whole time. He saw it the whole time. And on the other hand, it's a good thing that some of you are being comforted this morning for the fact that he sees your pain and he knows what you're going through the whole time. See, I want you to hear me today that your suffering does not escape the eyes of the crucified one. He sees it today. He sees your hurtful past. He sees your painful present. He sees your suffering. He sees your sins which remain exposed and unforgiven. He sees your thoughts. Why? Because nothing, everybody say, nothing, nothing is hidden from him. But, there's always a but, there's one thing that his eyes can never see. You know, it's amazing as I go through the scriptures here that he could see the rebellion in Lucifer's heart. But there's one thing that he cannot see. He could see the sin in Adam and Eve, but there is one thing that he cannot see. He could see the wickedness of man before the flood, but there's one thing, saints of God, that he still cannot see. He could see the diabolical ambitions of the men at Babel, but there's one thing today that his eyes still cannot see. He can see the sins of adultery and murder that David committed, but there's one thing that his eyes today still cannot see. He could see Nathanael while he was sitting under the fig tree, but today there's something that his eyes still cannot see. He could see the precise moment of Peter's denial of Christ, but there's one thing today that he cannot see. Anybody interested in that? Hear me today. He cannot see your sins underneath the blood of Calvary. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Well, but I thought he could see everything. Oh, no, 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 no. Sins that have been forgiven, a past that has been forgiven, a lifestyle that has been forgiven and moved on. The Bible says this in Psalms 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Listen, if I start in North America and I go north eventually, I get to the top of the globe at the North Pole. If I continually to go the same direction, then I will start going south because eventually the north and the south, they meet. But if I started west and I started traveling east, will I ever start going west again? Never. So that's why the psalmist says that God will remove your sin from us. He didn't say as far as the north is from the south because they eventually come together. That's why he said as far as the east is from the west because there's a separation. They'll never come together. Isaiah chapter 43, 25. I am he that blotteth out your transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins anymore. Praise God for that this morning. Praise God. The one thing that his eyes cannot see is the fact that a child of God has come to him and said, I messed up my life. And I've got flaws. I've got a past. I've got hang-ups. I've got weaknesses. Will you forgive me? The Bible says if he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then they're gone. as far as the east is from the west. Listen, hear me, Satan, saints of God, he's called the false accuser of the brethren because he still accuses you of the sin that the blood of Jesus has already forgiven and forgotten. That's what he does. He's continually bringing them up. He's continually reminding you of who you used to be. Somebody this morning, I want to tell you, I have learned that it's a lot easier to forgive somebody else of their mess up than it is to forgive myself. The sad thing is you've got people that have been walking around for years. And they have asked God to forgive them of what they've done. They've asked God to forgive them and put it under the blood. And he has done so. But the next day and the next week and the next month and the next year, it continues to be a reminder in their life of what I've done. And it's always brought up in their mind of who I used to be. Because that's what the enemy does. That's who the enemy is. He's always the false accuser. He's always telling you. It's as though the offense has never occurred in the mind of Christ. But to you, you can't get past it. You can't get on. You can't move on in life because it's always a reminder to you. Because you can't learn to forgive yourself. You can't learn to say, you know what? I have to accept the fact today that Jesus has forgiven me. I have to accept the fact today that Jesus has forgotten this. And I've got to learn to forgive myself and to move on. There's a song that used to come out years ago. And the song says this, what sin? What sin? It's as far as gone as the east is from the west, thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. What sin? In other words, it's saying you keep bringing it up, but I don't know the sin that you're talking about. And the child of God today comes in week after week after week, and you're trying to move on in life, and you're trying to get past it, and you can't get past it because the false accuser keeps bringing it up and keeps reminding you of what it is. Listen, your sins of the past, they are forgiven, saints. They are forgotten, saints. Leave them under the blood of Jesus Christ. Let them go. The Bible says there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So I tell you today, don't allow Satan to torment you another day about what Jesus has already forgotten. Don't allow your memory to torment you another day. Let it go. Yeah, it's who you were, or it's what you've done. But it doesn't define who you are. It doesn't define who you are. Yeah, you were a screw up. Yeah, you messed up. Yeah, you were stupid. Yeah, you were selfish. You only thought of yourself. Yeah, we know that. But when you've asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, he has put them under the blood of Calvary and done away with them. And he's forgotten them. And you've got to learn to do the same. You've got to learn to let them go the same. Because I want to tell you what it's doing is hindering you today. You're coming in here, you can't move forward, you can't worship, you feel like you can't even live right because of condemnation always on you, because you feel the guilt and the pain of the past continuing to stay on you. You can't shake it off. You can't get it out of your memory. Why? Because it's a thing that the enemy wants to use to torment you. I read an illustration the other day, a weird illustration, but it's about a man by the name of Dr. Barwick who finally relented and had his leg amputated because of poor circulation. He had an unusual request as the leg was amputated. He said, I want my leg to be placed in a jar where I could put it on the mantle and where I could taunt it every day and look at it and taunt it and remind it and tell it that you're not called in the pain anymore. And so soon he began to experience, now this is crazy, but he began to experience phantom limb pain. Phantom limb pain. So for months, he suffered with it until he finally had the pickled leg taken down from the mantle and gotten rid of. So in other words, he had a leg amputated. He put it into a jar, had it put into a jar on the mantle. He taunted that leg every day. And then one day, that phantom leg, the limb that was no longer there, but he still had the pain of it. And finally, he said, enough's enough. I'm going to have that thing removed out of my life completely. What am I saying? And I'm closing here. Somebody here today is being tormented by a sin that God has already removed. Are you hearing me today? Somebody in here today, you're being tormented by a sin of the past that, listen, God's already forgiven you. God's already put it under the blood, and put guilt. And the accuser of the enemy keeps bringing it up in your life and saying, you know what, this is still who you are, and you're still a mess up, and you still have this weakness about you. Somebody here today is being tormented daily. And if you're here this morning, you're feeling the crushing guilt and the condemnation over the sins that you've committed, then listen, God is here to set you free this morning from that. I believe that this morning, that God wants to set you free from that. God wants to deliver your mind from that. God wants to deliver you from that guilt this morning. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm closing here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or do you not know the wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slanderers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Here's what verse 11 says, and that is what some of you were. Did you catch that? And that's what some of you were. The King James Version says this, such were some of you. Such were some of you. People that lived in sin. That's who you used to be. That's what God pulled you out of. A lifestyle of sickness and a lifestyle of pain. A lifestyle of hidden sins that you thought nobody was. He pulled you out of that lifestyle. If I could pass this microphone around to this auditorium this morning, I can guarantee you this, that every one of you would have a story to tell. Every one of you would have a story to tell of something that God freed you from, and God delivered you from, or God helped you from, or God is in the process of helping you through. So in the same token of that, you've got to learn to let it go, man. The verse continues on here in verse 11. It says, but you were washed. Amen. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You have already been washed. You have already been cleaned. Why do you keep living in it? Why do you keep living, beating yourself up, letting the enemy remind you of where you've been? Why? Why are you putting yourself through this? The scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation. It's gone. You've got to learn to move past it. Would you stand to your feet with me in this auditorium? Boy, y'all really going to like me today. I'll get you to that buffet before the Methodists get there, and that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. And Baptist people say, my God, them Pentecostals got here before we did. Maybe. I want to ask you this morning. I want to throw it out there. I know this is going to be tough for some of you. This is going to be difficult for some of you. But I want to be real, and I want to be honest, and I want to be obedient to God. Is there anybody here this morning in this house that says, "Preacher, I can't get past what God has already forgiven me of. I can't get past it. I can't get past the hurt. I can't get past what I've done to other people. I can't get past the guilt that I have. It's just, I feel guilty for it. I can't get past it. I can't move past it. I can't do anything. It's a reminder, a constant reminder to me every day. Even when I come into the church house, I try to worship with this wonderful worship band. I try to. But as soon as I lift my hands, I just feel like the enemy saying, "Why are you doing that? You're a hypocrite. This is who you used to be. You got weaknesses. You still struggle with these things in life. Who are you to lift your hands? Who are you to pray? Who are you to worship? Who are you to work in the church? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are?" My God, I feel the Spirit of the Lord right now heavy on me. Somebody here this morning, man, it is controlling your life. It's controlling everything about you. You've got no freedom about you. No freedom of worship about you. No day-to-day freedom about you, because you feel like it's just staying on you. Let me remind you that he who the Son, S-O-N, has set free is free indeed. But you've got to believe that. You've got to believe that for you. You've got to believe that. Listen, you don't have to answer to people anymore. It's under the blood. You don't have to make up excuses for where you've been and what you've done. It's under the blood. You don't have to let that be your dinner time talk every day and every meal and every time you're around people that you always have to bring. You don't have to do that. Why? Because it's under the blood. See, the eyes of God can see everything. He can see the sin that is taking place now in your lives. He can see the hidden things that are in your life now. He can see the hurt that you're facing now. He can see the pain that you're going through now, the sickness that you're facing now, the times that you cry yourself to sleep at night. He sees all that. But the one thing he cannot see sin that has already been forgiven. But we're living as if it's still real today. What sin? What sin? He says it's already thrown as far as the east is from the west, buried in the sea of forgetfulness. I've forgiven you for it. Now forgive yourself.